Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Pastor Ron, and thank you for inviting us into your homes to worship together today. We want to encourage you to stay tuned for the next few minutes because we're going to unpack some thoughts from Scripture that we believe will really be transformative to your life and a blessing to the lives around you. Our current series is based on Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It's "Be anxious for nothing." And we are addressing some of the negative emotions that we're seeing on the rise in the midst of this lockdown. We've already covered anxiety and fear, and today we're going to be looking at anger. And we're going to be looking at what is anger, why do we have anger in our lives, and how do we control anger? Because if you don't control anger, it's going to control you. So would you please join me for a word of prayer as we begin? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that teaches us how to live and empowers us to live lives that honor you. We ask today that your Holy Spirit would minister to us in the midst of this word, that it would be more than just information, but it would be transformative to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as a kid growing up, I had a really bad anger problem. If there was a fight in my family, I was usually involved in it. I remember one time I was fighting with my oldest brother and I grabbed a hold of a bat. I swung it at him. Luckily, I missed. Sadly, that wasn't an isolated incident. Another time, I grabbed the chair, tried to hit him with it. He dodged the chair, but I smashed the lamp. My other brother swooped in and grabbed me, threw me in a bedroom, locked the door, and saved my life that day. Otherwise, exploding anger, mine and my oldest brother's, would have been the end of my life. You know, some of you are shocked hearing that I had an anger problem, because nowadays, I've got that really been under control. I'm a happy guy. In fact, I'm known as a person who comes in and helps to make peace, always has a smile on his face. But you know what? Under this coronavirus quarantine, we're finding that negative emotions are on the rise. In fact, just this week, I was studying to preach on anger, and all of a sudden, I find this anger boiling up inside of me. And you know what? I swore at my wife. Words that I'd never heard before coming out of my mouth were being directed at her. She was shocked, and I was shocked. In fact, when my anger dissipated, I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, apologized profusely. Luckily, my wife forgave me, and our relationship was restored. But negative emotions are on the rise due to this catastrophic change that we've all experienced. We've experienced loss of routine, loss of community. Some of us have lost jobs, we lost finances. There's so much loss going on. There are people on the streets protesting in anger because they've lost their freedom. I want to protest in anger because I've lost my ability to get a haircut. You know, other people are finding that being alone under lockdown is causing anger to arise. And then there's others who, they're not able to be alone. They're 24/7, they're with their wife and kids or roommates, and they're finding that that's stirring up anger in them. All these different negative emotions are being stirred up inside of us because of this coronavirus lockdown. You know, whenever I speak, it really helps me when people respond and react. And I would love if you would go to the comment section and you would let us know how this message is impacting your life. You can also interact with others who are watching. In fact, if you'd like to discuss this topic further, you can join one of our small groups where we'll be discussing this all week long. And you can just type into the comment section, small group, or you can text the number on the screen and let them know that you'd like to join one of our small groups or any other questions that you might have. You can text there. Now let's move on to the message. We're talking about anger. Number one, what is anger? We're going to look at the words of Jesus where it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. So Jesus here, he's equating anger with murder. And that's because of the destructive nature of anger in our lives. Many different medical studies have shown the damage that anger does to our health. It can affect our hearts, give us high blood pressure, hypertension, give us anxiety, fear, and depression. Anger has been known to cause ulcers. It's been known to even cause our skin to break out. Anger can give us headaches. It can cause strokes, heart attacks, even death. In fact, I almost died that day I tried to hit my brother with a bat. The only thing that kept me from death was my other brother grabbing me and throwing me in a bedroom and locking the door. So anger affects our health in negative ways. It also damages our relationship. I can assure you that trying to swing a bat at my brother damaged my relationship with him. But anger also brings physical damage. On that day, it damaged that lamp. But I can tell you today that all across New York City, lamps, mirrors, walls, doors are being damaged by unbridled anger as people explode and take out their anger on others. In fact, men and women, children, seniors, their bodies are being broken by the abuse of unbridled anger. And anger has this deep destructive power in our lives. And that's why Jesus equated anger with murder. So we see that Jesus says that anger is equal to murder because it is a hugely destructive emotion in our lives. At the same time, Jesus himself demonstrated anger on multiple occasions in his life. Jesus displayed anger against people who are greedy. He displayed anger against people who are hypocrites. Jesus was angry with people who are hard-hearted and took advantage of others. Jesus was angry against those who are unable to show compassion, unable to show mercy to those who are in times of need. And so how do we make sense of this dichotomy that anger is both this hugely destructive emotion in our lives, and also anger is part of God's nature, part of his character? Why did God put anger into our lives? Why is it a part of our nature? There's two reasons why. First of all, anger is an indicator. It's an indicator that something that we love is being threatened or harmed or being taken away. God loves, and so therefore he shows anger whenever things that he loves are being threatened or harmed or taken away. That's why God has such a deep anger towards sin, because sin threatens us, it harms us, and it takes us away from his love. Whenever we're hypocritical, whenever we show greed, or we abuse others, or we lie, those things harm us. Those things take us away from the love of God. So God deeply hates sin. But anger is also an energizer in our lives. It energizes us to do battle against those things that threaten us, to protect those things that we love. There's an interesting article that I read recently about Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. And it said, there was this uncommon trait that linked the two of them together. Now, for those of you who don't know, Michael Jordan, he is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And same, Tom Brady is also considered one of the greatest football players of all time by a lot of people, but not by New York Jets fans. But both of them had this ability to generate anger in their lives and to channel that anger into constructive energy in order to compete and to win championships. In fact, stories of Michael Jordan are legendary. My brother lives in Chicago, and he was telling me that Michael Jordan has these basketball camps for wealthy executives. And in these basketball camps, they have these friendly scrimmages that go on, and every once in a while, Michael Jordan will jump into the scrimmage. And so you have these 50-year-old, out-of-shape executives playing basketball with each other, and then here comes Michael Jordan, and he shows no mercy when he jumps in there. He holds nothing back. He embarrasses these executives. He dominates them because he still has this competitive fire, this ability to channel his anger into energy. And so we have this God-given anger in order to indicate that something we love is being threatened, in order to energize us to protect the things we love. But it all comes down to the third point. How do we control anger? Because if you don't control anger, it will control you. And so the Bible gives us tips on how to control our anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." So three principles from this scripture on how we control anger. Number one, it says be angry. In other words, acknowledge your anger. Don't deny it. Don't ignore it, but acknowledge when anger starts to rise up inside of you. In fact, if you have difficulty recognizing when anger is rising up inside of you until it's too late, then one of the things you can do is ask those who are near to you, those you love, and say, can you point out, can you let me know whenever you sense anger is rising up inside of me? So we need to give them permission to point out when anger is rising. The second thing that we want to do is to do not sin, the Bible says, which means pause when you feel that anger rising. Don't explode. Pause, stop, lower your voice, calm your rhetoric. Count to 10 if you need to. If you need to, just leave the room, go take a walk. Find ways to pause your anger. Do not sin, the scripture says. And the third thing that we're to do is to not let the sun go down on our anger. What does that mean? It means deal with your anger, respond to that anger, and take care of it. Ask yourself, why am I angry? What is it that I love or value that's being threatened and causing this anger to arise? And then ask yourself, is it worth this anger, the damage that this anger is about to cause? James chapter 1, verse 19 gives us some insights and tips on how to respond to anger. It says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." In other words, when you start getting angry, listen to what others are telling you to do. Listen to what they're saying about your anger. Also, listen to what is this anger saying about me as I'm reacting. And last of all, listen to what God says about anger. Listen to what God says about the things you love. And Jesus said this. He said, there's two loves that need to transcend every other love, every other value that you have in your life. Number one is love for God. And number two is love for people. So as you begin to see anger start to rise up, ask yourself, is the thing that I'm trying to protect, the thing that's being threatened, is that love going to help me love God more? Is that love going to be reflective of helping me love other people more? Because if it's not, if that anger is going to damage your love for God or damage your love for others, then you need to pull that anger back and respond in a different way, in a way that reflects love for God and love for people. Now, one of the things that I love is taking nice long baths. I love to read in the bathtub. But sometimes in our little one-bedroom, one-bath apartment, my wife has to use the bathroom. And I can feel the anger rising up as I feel my nice warm bath being threatened. Then I have to just pause and ask myself, what's more important? Which love should I prioritize? My love for my wife or my love for my bath? Obviously, it's my love for my wife. And so I have to get out of the bath and let her use the bathroom. And see, what we need to do is we need to pause and ask ourselves, does my response to this anger reflect a love for God and a love for people? Is it conducive? Does it produce more love for God or love for people? Or does it damage my love for God or my love for people? And that's how we control our anger. So to recap, first of all, we looked at what is anger. And anger is both a hugely destructive emotion, but also part of the character and nature of God. Then we looked at why do we have anger? And anger is given to us as an indicator that something we love is being threatened. It's also given to us as an energizer to motivate us to protect the things we love. And thirdly, we need to learn to control our anger. And we gave you three simple steps to controlling your anger. Number one is to acknowledge your anger. Number two is to pause when anger starts to rise up inside of you. And number three is to choose a right response to anger. But what happens if our anger has caused us to hurt someone else? Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, the next couple of verses, he says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." You need to go and make it right. You need to go and ask forgiveness of that person who has something against you. And what if others in their anger have hurt you? Well, Jesus goes on to say, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained your brother." So whether someone else's anger has hurt you or your anger has hurt them, the Bible says you need to go and make it right. Now that can be difficult. We know that sometimes it's just hard to change our emotions and our hurt. But the Bible gives us this instruction on what to do when we find ourselves struggling to forgive others or to let go of past hurts or to deal with our anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." See, we find the power to change our negative attitudes through the forgiveness of Christ. When we accept the forgiveness of Christ and His love in our lives, it changes and transforms our hearts and helps us to forgive others and to love others. And so in closing today, I just want to pray with you. We're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins and the ways that we've hurt Him. We're going to receive His love and ask Him to help us to love and forgive others. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. And today we come to you and we say, Lord, we know that in so many ways we have threatened, harmed, Lord, taken away our love for you through our own sins. And so today we ask you, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from our sin and our anger. And fill us with your love. Let us, Lord, not only receive your love, but God, help us now to take that love and forgiveness and to share it with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for inviting us into your homes to share these moments with you. We hope that this word will help you. I'm going to turn it back over now to Pastor Ron.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.